This is Sunday Side Up, a presentation of Sarkis Tarzian Incorporated. Here's your host, Barb Richards.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Barb Richards, and this is Sunday Side Up. We're always so glad that you've decided to spend some of your precious time with us, and we try to make it very well worthwhile. And I think we're going to hit a home run for our listeners today, because we're going to get an update from the Vera Bradley Foundation for Breast Cancer. With us, of course, is Catherine Hill, and I'm very excited to have by phone Dr. Kathy Miller from IU, who's working on all sorts of great research that the foundation is funding. Good morning, Dr. Miller.
Good morning, everyone.
We're very, very excited to have you. We decided not to take you away from your work down there at IU to make you travel up to Fort Wayne, because we know it's so important. Give us a little bit of your background, Dr. Miller.
So I am nearly a native of Fort Wayne. I grew up in the very northwest corner of Ohio, so Fort Wayne was the hot spot to go shopping when I was growing up.
That's so sad.
Yeah, sorry for you.
It was there or Toledo, and Fort Wayne was easier to get to from where I was coming from.
And we probably went over in your neck of the woods when we were all under 21, just saying. Because Ohio's, drinking rules were a little bit different.
It had been known to happen. We used to go to Michigan.
But tell us, where did you go to school?
So I've moved a lot. I went to college at the University of Miami in Florida, and then I went to medical school in Baltimore at Johns Hopkins. I came back to the Midwest to Indiana University for my fellowship training in oncology. And then there's a period, I think, known as my period in exile at a fabulous place in North Dakota for about a year and a half. And I've been back on the faculty here at IU since January of 1999.
You mentioned Johns Hopkins. I just, last weekend, as a matter of fact, was out in Baltimore. What a great city Baltimore is. Lots of great things going on there.
It has changed a lot. Like many cities, is really a city of a bunch of small neighborhoods, each that have their own character and personality and are great fun to explore.
Yeah, you got to love the East Coast. So, Dr. Miller, did you decide early on that you wanted to be an oncologist?
I got hooked when I was a second-year medical student. You know, at that point in time, my attention span topped out at probably about 40 minutes. And we had two back-to-back lectures in oncology, each of which were about an hour and 20 minutes long. And I was just completely captivated and fascinated by the biology of this problem from the very beginning. And then once I started seeing patients, there was no turning back.
Just the amount of research and the amount of change with oncology and what we're seeing with cancers over the past, 10 years, 15 years has just been amazing.
It's really a tremendously exciting time. I think for many, the progress can seem frustratingly slow. If you go back to Lyndon Johnson's war on poverty and the war on cancer, that was a long time ago. But we are finally at the point where those decades of investment in very basic research, trying to figure out how these cancer cells develop and how they work, it allows us to develop much more targeted, much more specific, much more effective therapies for our patients.
And Catherine, when did Dr. Miller join the team?
Gosh, Kathy, you can probably answer that better than I. As far as my memory serves me, you've been on the team from the beginning when we started funding the IU Cancer Center.
Wow, from the very beginning?
Yeah. It's shocking to me, but as I think back, I got to IU first, before Vera Bradley.
So Barb, when the Vera Bradley Foundation made our first commitment to IU Cancer Center, Kathy, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that there were only six faculty considered breast cancer research part of that team. Now we're up to about 40.
Oh,
so the Vera Bradley Foundation dollars have really helped build a substantial team, a formidable team, might I say.
I mean, it's really been interesting as I was thinking about today and the history of IU and the Vera Bradley Breast Cancer Team. I think in reality, it was a bit of a stretch to call us a team when Vera Bradley first invested in what we do. We had all of six people who had a great vision of what could be accomplished with the support and the recruitment of more people to really build a team. And we've now really been able to accomplish that and grow the team of researchers in the clinic and in the laboratory, which allows us to do so many more things.
I was going to say, if you come from a staff of 6 to 40, that's just amazing. And being able to have the amount of foundation dollars to do that, because you just have that many more people working towards that goal.
Well, and what I love, Barb, about the way Kathy Miller and Dr. Hari Nakshatri, got to give him a shout out, are the co-leaders of the team that we're supporting there. Mm-hmm. And the way they describe it, our dollars really are philanthropic dollars. The Vera Bradley Foundation is not giving breast cancer research grants. Mm-hmm. So there are not oncologists writing 40-page grant requests that are deeply scientific and with our scientific board reviewing them. In our case, it's philanthropic dollars. We are saying we want to invest in this team. We want to provide seed funding to help them reach their goals. And the way we do that is when we contribute, approximately over the last few years, it's been nearly $3 million a year. When we contribute that money is used then as seed funding for Dr. Miller and Dr. Nakshatri to advance the progress that their team is making. So someone might have a good idea, and instead of spending days or weeks preparing mm-hmm. a grant funding request for maybe the $20,000 they need to get the idea off the ground, to vet it a little bit, prove that it has some legs, instead of spending those weeks and months just trying to get the seed funding to get it started and prove that it's fundable, mm-hmm. they can go to Kathy and Hari. There's a review. They make a determination that researcher might get those funds and then go prove that their idea has legs. And then what they've done with those funds basically is build the groundwork for a true research grant. So you could look at it that the Vera Bradley Foundation dollars, $1 million of Vera Bradley Foundation dollars, actually turns into about $10 million of scientific research funding.
Oh my gosh. You just have got to be loving that, Dr. Miller.
You know, this is the funding that lets us dream and try big projects mm-hmm. and projects that might seem risky to a lot of government and other foundation review boards that directly fund research. Mm-hmm. And that it is hard to imagine how powerful that is, to be able to tell our scientists, if you have a crazy idea that just might be worthwhile, but you need to do some very early studies to see if this crazy idea is worth pursuing and could be useful, you can do that. And you can do that without fear that you're going to spend, I was almost chuckling when Catherine said days or weeks. It's really more like months mm-hmm. of preparing a research proposal that then takes months to be reviewed and can get picked into pieces. So by the time it's approved, a lot of the work has been done, and it's not nearly as relevant at this point. The field has moved on while you were trying to get the funding. This allows our researchers to focus on actually doing the work mm-hmm. and to follow what might be unexpected findings that could lead to really big advances.
I think we could all take this lesson from the foundation and put it into effect into our schools, according right. to the school teachers. They're so bogged down with paperwork. So,
well, we just like the whole philosophy. If you think about it, Vera Bradley as a company operates that way. We're willing to take a risk. We're willing mm-hmm. to try something new and keep things fresh. And, our company co-founders, Barbara Beckard and Patricia Miller, are the ultimate entrepreneurs. So we like to think of these researchers. They're very entrepreneurial people, and to be able to get behind that and allow them to test things out, test the waters. And it's fun for us. It's exciting to think about that we can be a part of that in that way.
Yeah. Dr. Miller, can you give us an example of a crazy idea and how it led to something really important in your research?
Oh, you're going to have to make me mention anthrax.
Okay.
This is perhaps one of our favorite craziest stories currently. This is work from my partner in crime, our co-program leader, Dr. Hari Nakshatri. He was trying to study some very basic biology of how cancer cells work and what particular proteins are expressed in the cancer cell in different situations. And one of the proteins that came up, totally unexpected, was a protein that had not been described before in breast cancer or in other cancers. And as he did some searching of the literature to see what this protein that he had stumbled on might do, what was known about it, it turns out to be the protein that anthrax uses to attach to cells to allow anthrax to invade into the cells. Now, a lot of researchers might have looked at that and went, oh, crap, I'm trying to study cancer. I stumble on anthrax. This is a total dead end. Hari looked at that and said, you know, we might be able to use this. If anthrax uses this protein to infect the cells, maybe we can use the fact that these breast cancer cells have this protein as a way of trying to target or deliver therapy to these cancer cells. So the Vera Bradley funding allowed him to do the first step in that work to show that this is not crazy, this could be used, and he's been able to trade that up for a huge amount of funding elsewhere to continue to develop that idea. And I'm already looking at Hari and reminding him as this continues to work, we have the ability to move this into the clinic to see if it would help our patients. So those studies are a bit farther away, and we'll take more basic work. But without funding from Vera Bradley and without the ability to follow those first crazy thoughts instead of just discarding them, this whole project probably wouldn't exist.
You know, it's so funny when you talk about creative and crazy thoughts from doctors, you know, because from the outside looking in, you guys are all very scientific and medical, and you forget that there's a whole creative side.
Hugely creative.
Especially in research. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what leads to those discoveries. Mm-hmm. So it's just so very exciting things going on down at IU for the Vera Bradley Foundation for Breast Cancer Research. We've got a lot more to talk about, so stay tuned. More Sunday Side Up is coming up.
Sunday Side Up is heard each week on WAJI-FM and WLDE. EFM Fort Wayne, both proudly owned by Sarkis Tarzian Incorporated.
And we are back with more Sunday Side Up as we continue our discussion. The Vera Bradley Foundation for Breast Cancer, Catherine Hill, is here along with Dr. Miller down at IU. We have her by phone. And Dr. Miller, very exciting things are going on. Exactly, tell us about some of the other things that you've been working on that are heading into clinical trials, some of the latest things that you're working on down there.
We've been leading several national clinical trials that are looking at new therapies. Those trials span some studies that look at the very first time a drug is given to human beings, all the way through large studies that may enroll 5,000 patients, that we hope, if they're successful, will lead to those drugs being approved and available for widespread use. Those studies look at several different ways of treating cancer. We've looked at drugs that work by blocking the growth of blood vessels. We've looked at drugs that inhibit some of the crucial signaling pathways, kind of the relay switches in electronic terms, that help the cancer cells function. And we've been particularly excited recently at studies that look at ways of delivering the therapy directly to the cancer cell. Some of your listeners may have heard about a new drug called T-DM1, or Kadcyla is its brand name, that treats a particularly aggressive form of breast cancer that has a growth factor receptor called HER2. This drug takes an antibody that recognizes that protein on the surface of the cancer cells and delivers chemotherapy directly to the cancer cells. That drug's now approved and available for women in that situation with advanced breast cancer because those studies showed that it was more effective than the current therapies and less toxic, fewer side effects for our patients. And some of the first studies of that drug were done at IU. So we're tremendously excited to see some of our patients, some of whom in those clinical trials have been on this drug for, at this point, almost 3 years and doing well. Mm-hmm. And the drug is now available for women around the country.
And Barb, to add to that, Kathy just mentioned that this is nationwide, and a lot of the clinics that clinical trials that Kathy is leading are in association with research hospitals, universities across the country. Mm-hmm. So it's important that when we are out raising funds for Vera Bradley Foundation and saying that our dollars go to the Vera Bradley Foundation for Breast Cancer Research Labs, whew, that's a mouthful, at IU Cancer Center, we don't want someone out in California or Connecticut to say, well, that's not relevant to me. Because the news is it's absolutely relevant to you because the nature of cancer research is national, is global. Mm-hmm. And this team we support, one of the things that we're so very proud to be a part of is their collaborative theme. Mm-hmm. Throughout everything they do, they are ready and willing to share their information, anything that's going to advance the pace of cancer research. They're ready to collaborate with whomever worldwide has the piece of the puzzle that they need, that they can connect to the piece of the puzzle that they have in Indianapolis. And that's ultimately what it's all about. We talk about finding cures for cancer or finding treatments that are going to make cancer take away the word fatal from this
right,
disease.
Right.
It's about everybody getting together. It's mm-hmm. not going to be one solution coming out of one organization. It's going to be all of these brilliant researchers saying, well, I have this piece of the puzzle, and someone else saying, well, I've got this piece of the puzzle, and they've all need to come to the table and share and put that puzzle together. And that's what we continue to hear from this team. There's a couple great examples, Kathy, that you just gave recently at a meeting that we had that might be neat to share. Hari's tissue microarray is a great example. I remember the map you put up. So could you speak to that for a minute, Kathy?
Yeah, so it actually came partly from Hari's anthrax project. He needed a way to search a lot of the publicly available databases that have looked at these protein patterns and gene expression patterns, and particularly a new way of looking at the way cancer cells function, one called the tumor's microRNA. There are a bunch of studies in the literature that report this sort of data, but it is very labor-intensive and time-consuming to try to search each individual database, an individual manuscript that's out there. So Hari worked with some of our colleagues in bioinformatics and developed a program that does that searching automatically through all of the available public literature, created the program that took what used to be a couple of weeks of a student or a laboratory technician's work and boiled it down to a few minutes at a computer terminal, and made that tool available, completely free, to researchers around the globe. To give you an idea of how powerful this can be, there were researchers in over 30 countries who used this to further their research within the first month of the tool being available. We've done the same thing in other ways. One of the projects that first got started with some of those pilot funds available from Vera Bradley was this idea of creating a big tissue bank of truly normal breast samples. If you think about wanting to know what causes breast cancer, what's the first step in a normal breast cell becoming a breast cancer cell, you really need to know what normal is going to be, and it won't be just one thing. We women are different. Our breasts may change in what's normal for them as we age, as we have babies and breastfeed them and stop breastfeeding. So normal will be some range. If you don't really know what that range might be, it's going to be very hard to know what's the first step outside of that range on the
way. So Barb, let me stop you here, Kathy, real quick. I always, when I'm describing this, remember in your elementary science class, you talked about the control group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what Kathy's saying. We did not have the control group for breast cells.
Right. And now when you say it, mm-hmm. it sounds so elementary, as you
said.
Because you think, well, of course you need
course
a starting
point. And I love this part of the story too, Kathy, that our wonderful Connie Ruffenberger shared that a lot of scientists for a long time just assumed, well, we'll never get our hands on that healthy breast tissue. And it was a bunch of men, excuse me, who were just assuming that. And our wonderful Connie said, wait a minute, has anyone ever asked the healthy women to donate this tissue, this important piece of data?
And that's what you did.
And they did. And all of a sudden, there's an incredible bank of healthy breast tissue that is invaluable. It's like the holy grail for breast cancer researchers.
So people just came to IU and you took healthy cells.
They come from around the country.
Wow.
Our first collection was actually funded with some of those pilot funds from the Vera Bradley Group. Our very first local protocol had as its incredibly lofty goal to collect 25 normal breast samples from 25 women who had not had breast cancer and were at low risk of developing breast cancer. That showed that it was possible. And the only reason that healthy women hadn't donated breast tissue was that no one had asked them.
Right.
And
right.
If you ask them,
right.
They are more than willing. That has grown to our normal tissue bank that now has substantial funding and support from Oracle and the Komen Foundation. Those samples are available to researchers literally across the globe. And one of the criteria for getting access to those samples for that research is that they have to share the data with everyone who is using those samples and everyone who could benefit from that data. So that has allowed us to create a sort of virtual tissue bank as well, because for some projects, you might not actually need the samples. The information that you want has already been developed from some of those samples by researchers elsewhere. If you had access to the information, you could do the work. So that sense of sharing and that we are all in this together, and we will be able to accomplish so much more if we are working together, sharing the ideas, sharing the information, both good and bad, including sharing things that doesn't work.
And if someone's out there listening,
we don't waste time again.
And if someone's out there listening, every time I tell this story, people say, well, how do I give? Because what a valuable contribution to breast cancer research, a piece of yourself. I did
right.
it. And it hurts a little bit. Mm-hmm. But boy, do you feel proud that you were able to do that. So if someone's out there listening, just go visit the Komen Normal Tissue Bank website. And there'll be information there about when their next collection is. I'm not sure when that will be.
You know, you guys are talking about all of this global stuff and all these things going on. I just have to tell you, it's very emotional. As a woman, I've not been personally affected by breast cancer, but certainly I pray every day for friends and family that are. And as you talk about the sharing of data and how everybody is working together across the world on this, I just want to thank you all so very much for doing that and for, you know, knowing that the strength is in numbers by being able to. The cure may end up coming from Finland, we don't know, or the right chemotherapy so that people don't lose their teeth and their gums and things like that and have long-term effects over chemo. So I just want to tell you that I've just been sort of sitting here holding back the tears because it's just mind-boggling. Little did anyone know at Vera Bradley when this whole thing started 20 years ago.
Right.
What it was going to rot, so to speak.
Exactly.
So how can we help?
Well,
but that's the story of Vera Bradley. Little did Barbara and Pat know what would come of Vera Bradley.
The power of the purse.
When they started the company.
Yeah.
So this is what women can do when they have an idea.
That's
and they
very
throw
true.
Their hearts and minds and souls behind it.
And we love them for giving women such a strong voice.
Oh, thank you, Barb. Thanks. And everyone who works at Vera Bradley, who works on the Vera Bradley Foundation for Breast Cancer is honored, you know, to be able to be a part of this too. So,
and we're going to be turning the town pink.
We are.
Yeah,
yes.
Friday.
So, Friday, May 10th is when you'll see those pretty pink ribbons go up all over downtown. We have a lot of neighborhoods participating as well. Many of you might have gotten an appeal right at your doorstep for your neighborhood campaign. So look for all those ribbons to be going up. And we certainly are still accepting contributions for our Turn the Town Pink campaign. You can just go to verabradley.org and make your contribution. What I love about that campaign is that every single one of those ribbons has a name on it.
And it is a wonderful way to memorialize somebody or to honor somebody by getting a pink ribbon from
Vera
Bradley.
I always buy one in honor of my daughter with hopes for a healthy future. So Mm-hmm. She's perfectly healthy, and I want to keep her that way, and so I buy my pink ribbons.
And, of course, we'll be getting ready for, at the beginning of June, the Vera Bradley Golf and Tennis Classic, Viva La Vera, in the fall of the year. But at any point in time, you can help the Vera Bradley Foundation, verabradley.org. There, of course, is also the ribbons print out there, too. When you buy something in the ribbons print, part of that goes to the foundation.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, Vera Bradley contributes approximately $1 million a year to breast cancer research through our foundation. So when I say the foundation raises about $3 million a year, $1 million of that comes from women out shopping for handbags. Mm-hmm. And the other $2 million comes from all of the hard work of our incredible volunteers and our incredible team that's raising funds for the foundation all year long through things like the Vera Bradley Golf and Tennis Classic, the Turn the Town Pink campaign, the Viva La Pink event in the fall. And then there's actually a lot of events happening nationwide to support the Vera Bradley Foundation. So it's kind of fun to see. Our Facebook page is another place, great place to go to see what else happening.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting. And Dr. Miller, you must just be just loving everything that you have been able to do with the foundation in the ways of research that you probably never thought you were ever going to be able to do.
It truly is hard to imagine what we were able to do now that we always knew was possible. And to have the Vera Bradley Foundation and all of the women and men who support the Vera Bradley Foundation join that work makes it so much powerful. Mm-hmm. I was thinking as you were talking, Barb, about not being personally affected by breast cancer, that you are so wrong. We are all personally affected by this disease because women have such an important and still sometimes under-recognized role in our society and in our families mm-hmm. and in holding us all together. And we can't afford to lose those women who we still lose to this disease.
Exactly.
So we are all personally affected mm-hmm. by this disease in ways that we may not recognize mm-hmm. because we don't always know what might have happened had that woman not been taken away from us too mm-hmm. soon.
Right.
And we talk about the Vera Bradley Classic here coming up on our 20th anniversary. And we've been doing a lot of talking to our participants, our volunteers, our scorekeepers. And as Kathy said, everybody is affected. And mm-hmm. it's so neat that we all come out on this weekend. And everyone coming out to support the Classic has their own personal reason for being there.
It's very powerful.
I love just talking to everybody about, well, I come out every year because my sister's a survivor and this is my way of, you know. Everybody out there, it's like 2,500 people throughout the weekend are getting involved for their own personal mm-hmm. reason. Mm-hmm. And it's just neat.
We can't say enough about the Vera Bradley Foundation for Breast Cancer. If you have wanted to get involved, plenty of ways to get involved because we have them. We're lucky enough and gifted enough to have them here in Fort Wayne. VeraBradley.org. And remember when you see those pink ribbons that you can always get one and help out the foundation. Amazing stuff from IU Medical Center, Dr. Kathy Miller from the Vera Bradley Foundation for Breast Cancer. We have Catherine Hill. And again, thank you guys so much for taking the time out of your day. Fascinating. I could talk to you guys forever.
Thanks, Barb.
This is Sunday Side Up. We hope you have a great, great weekend. And thanks for joining us here on the radio. I'm Barb Richards.
Thanks for tuning in for Sunday Side Up with your host, Barb Richards. The views expressed in the show are not necessarily those of Sarkis Tarzian Management. For comments or questions, please contact the station directly.